Hiya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew FPS, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creators, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded, except when it's not, and this time it's recorded in Naam, Victoria, by Nadine Whitney, and she is interviewing Maya Zalama for her film Tête Brûlée. Maya's world as a 12-year-old Belgian Tunisian is filled with warmth and humour. She's considered the welcome extension of her brother Eunice, whose friends treat her like a part of their family. She loves viral dance moves, French rap, football, and riding on the back of Eunice's motorcycle. She's bright and happy, especially when she's included in Eunice's circle. When Eunice becomes collateral damage in a shooting incident, everything Aya thought was her life becomes turned upside down. Maya Zalama's debut feature is a beautiful and powerful representation of the Tunisian community in Brussels as Aya's family and extended family mourn and honour Eunice and Aya. And Aya finds strength in the gentle young men around her. The spirit of Eunice and is what he meant to his community, opening up a profound understanding of the importance of one life. Nadine Whitney spoke to Maya about creating examples of healthy masculinity and how her own upbringing influenced her film. This interview was recorded ahead of the film screening at the Sydney Film Festival, and it will no doubt be screening at future festivals, so keep an eye out for that. If you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at thecurb.au. We're a completely independent and ad-free website, and so if you'd like to be able to support us, visit patreon.com/thecurb.au, where you can support our work from as little as $1 a month. If you're unable to financially support us, then please consider sharing this interview with your film-loving friends. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast player of your choice. Right, that's enough from me. Here's the trailer for Tête Brûlée, followed by Nadine's interview with...
اغفر لحيينا وميتنا وشاهدنا
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
J'ai besoin de toi.
Maya, thank you so much for agreeing to speak to me today, tonight, whenever it is at your space and time. Please excuse my French. Is it Tête Brûlée?
Yes, perfect.
Is one of the most effective and beautiful films I've seen about masculinity of all things. I know that it comes from the point of view of a 12-year-old girl, but the friendship and the care for Eunice in his passing and even beforehand with his friends is just so incredibly healthy. And
that's so important to me, though. It means a lot to hear that. Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about writing for the men in the film?
Yes, the question of masculinity was very important for me since the beginning. Because I was not sure about the main character, if it was Aya, if it was one of the... I didn't know because I always wrote a lot about men, about masculinity, because I'm the only girl in the family. So I grew up also with a lot of men around me. and men who gives me a lot of care, a lot of love, a lot of freedom. So my own experience was also a inspiration to these characters. So it was very naturally to read characters like that, also to the mise en scène, how to bring this healthy brotherhood. I have seen that this all my life, so it was just normal to write about friends like this.
Yeah, and friends who treat Aya not as a nuisance or as, you know, a little girl, but as an extension of their love for Eunice. They understand her love for him, and therefore their love for her is included in that. It's like she's not just this little kid sister hanging around. She is an essential part of their family. So this came from your experience growing up in Belgium as a Tunisian Belgian person. Were you born in Belgium or did you immigrate?
So my mother is from Denmark and my father from Tunisia, but I didn't want to do a mixed family in my film because I didn't want to do a documentary and autobiographical story. It was not, I want to have some distance. So I choose a Tunisian family in Belgium. But yes, I am born and raised in Belgium with a Tunisian father and a Danish mother. But I only have the family of my father's side in Belgium. So my Danish family is in Denmark, and my Tunisian family is in Belgium and Tunisia. But I speak fluently Danish. I speak also Arabic. So I grew up also with the Danish culture. We did really a mix in our family. But in the community, we had, of course, more Tunisian people around us because there are not so many Danish people in Belgium. So, yeah.
Yes, and Belgium, because, you know, the French part of Belgium, there was a lot of sort of North African people coming through and creating communities within France and then Belgium. But the way that you have created the community is that it's not a community up against another community
No.
at all. There's nothing in any way except for Eunice's death, which is absolutely tragic. There's no sense that there are any major troubles and, you know, that Aya has to hide who she is and what she cares about, or even, you know, conform to a certain femininity. Can you tell me a bit about creating Aya?
It became a statement, but it was not a statement of in the beginning. For me, it was also normal to have this little girl who has freedom to be who she wants to be, and I didn't want to have big trouble in the family of with her identity, etc., because it was not the main topic of the film and I did not experience that. So for me, it was normal to have something healthy and yes, without big trouble. And yes, the trouble is the death, the grief, of course, but behind that. But now that I'm talking with people, also with the journalists, etc., I understand that it became a statement because it's so difficult in France or in Belgium to find a film story with North African immigrant people who are not in trouble with their identity or family or children versus parents and Yes, for me it was normal. It's what I experience. It's what I see around me, and each family had their problem. It's like other family. For in some family there are trouble with the identity, between the parents and the children, and some family it's the grief the problem. Yes, it depends. So for me it was very important also to represent a other kind of story, because when I was young I feel that the story I was reading in books, of seeing in films, in movies, etc., it was always with the violence, of racism, of I wanted to see also people who look like me, but with the normal stories.
Yes, and even you know, I suppose because Aya is 12, she's not, you know, not expected to wear a headscarf or anything like that. We only see her do that at the funeral, and you know, she's wearing her brother's football jerseys, soccer jerseys, and the closeness between them is absolutely palpable. He's 25, I think, is the
Yes,
age.
in the film, yes.
He's 25, she's 12, and at one stage he says, "We are from a completely different generation," but they're absolutely not. She calls him up when she's feeling nervous somewhere and just leaves him a voicemail, and he answers back like, you know, "I will see you tomorrow. I miss you. I love you," which is just gorgeous. And she has no particular problems with her father, who's just like, you know, just, you know, go do your homework, which
Yes,
is dancing to a video in another room, or none with her mother. It's just a very healthy family environment, and an environment where you can tell with after Eunice's death, the amount of people who come into the house, young men who were, you know, in his room, which is where a lot of the action happens, in his bedroom with Aya there, who are just so, they're so close to him, like that he was just a very good guy. So did you base him slightly on your brother?
Yes, of course. And also about the question of community in general, I wanted to have so much people in the house, because it's a very you can see that in every North African family, when you have a grief, a lot of people are coming, because it's also a way to help with different things. So for me it was very important, and for the character of the brother also, I was very inspired by the love that I have to my brothers, but also the love that they gave me and give me, and yeah.
And have they seen the film and loved it as well?
Yes. Unfortunately, I lost two of my brothers.
I'm so sorry.
Yes. I grew to be clear, I grew up with my three cousins and my brother, but I always say that I have a four brother, because we grew up together, and I lost my first big brother when I was 11, like Aya, so it was a very autobiographical movie, and I lost my second brother during the film, the set.
I'm so
So
sorry.
yes, thank you. So it's a very, very, very important film for me, and yes, it's inspired by them, and I know that if I have so much self-esteem and I am good with myself, it's also because I had so much love and freedom from my brothers. But my two other brothers, they saw the film, and yes, they were very emotive, of course, and very proud of also. And one of my brothers says to me that it was the best film he ever seen in his life.
Oh, that's
So,
fantastic.
yes.
It is an extraordinary film. I honestly didn't know what I was getting into. I just hit play. All I knew
Okay.
was, so often, you get reams of information about what a film is going to be about. And I'm just like, it's got a young girl in it. I'm just going to hit play and see what happens. And I was so moved by just how gentle, observational, non-judgmental the film was, little sections that seem so true in terms of how a young person is going to grieve. They're going to feel that, they're closed up and all they want to do is scream and run and you have that those amazing scenes as well where Aya is in her brother's bedroom just trashing the place, dancing to music, but then curls up on his prayer mat, which is such a lovely bookend to that. Music is very important in the film. Can you tell me a bit about the choices you made there?
For me, it was more than just music. It was really also the link between the brother who is not there and the little girl, like a kind of a heritage, because yes, he was the person who listened this music with her who gave the person who gave the musical education. So it was, of course, very very symbolic. So I chose some songs of French rap songs because it's also it's a historic part for immigrant teenagers to listen to French rap music because it's talk also about racism, about immigration, but not there, but in general. And it's what the French rap part, but there was also a lot of Quran, so the religious part of the sound of the film. And it was also very important for me because during a grief, of course you hear a lot of a Quran, and it for some people it can be it can help a lot. But for some people like her at the beginning, it was too much because it she in her head she does the link between death and this Quran. But when you are feeling good with yourself and more that you're feeling more comfortable with your faith, yes, and religion, it's it can it became very it helped a lot to hear her Quran. So it was also a little bit inspired by my story because I'm coming from a Muslim family, but we were not very practical, so I was not I had not the sorry, my English is a little
That's
bit
fine. That's fine. My
but
French is,
I
so unpaired that I if we swapped, it wouldn't help.
always we didn't have always Quran at home, so when you hear Quran only at a grief period you associate it. So it was also the case of Aya in my film, but after that she became to have her own link to faith, to religion, and to grow up in this way. So there she can find a more comfortable thing in the Quran. So yeah, I had a lot of yes, I was thinking a lot about music, Quran, how it will be, it will do the evolution, etc.
One of her brother's friends sings a part of the Quran on his own. It's one of the most powerful parts of the film, actually. I don't know the Quran, I barely know the Bible. But I'm assuming that was a part of the Quran, a prayer that he's singing. And it is just so lovely, the way that it's sung and the closeness between all those young men in the room. And I just adored the way that, as I said at the very beginning, you created such a healthy masculine environment in something that a lot of Westerners see as not healthy
Yes, of course.
for women, the Muslim faith, because they
Of
instantly
course.
see Sharia, law,
Yes.
as opposed to just an everyday existence. And I was just stunned by how beautifully and subtly you did it, effortlessly.
Thank you. I'm very happy to hear that. And it was also very important for me that it was a young man who were reciting the Quran, because we always say old men who are doing that in films, but also in reality. But a lot of young people can also, with a very beautiful voice, doing that. So it was important to me that it was one of the friends.
Yes, and the film starts after Yunus gets drives her home on his motorcycle, which is just so cool. Any 12-year-old be like, ha, I'm on a motorcycle. His one of his friends is getting married, so I'm assuming that was a groom party of some description, and another of his friends is doing his hair, which is just it's just such a nice thing to see men touching each other that way and caring about each other that way. It's just,
Yes, it was a real question for me. When are heterosexual men touching together? So yes, it was sense that I was saying in real life, but it was also a real question.
And it's just, beautifully done. And I was very, very touched by the film, and I think you've done an extraordinary job. So, is there anything you'd like to say to Australian audiences who are coming to see your film?
I'm so happy that my film in Australia. It's very symbolic for me because I also have a story with Australia. It's so crazy because my grandfather, my mom's side, my
Yes.
Danish grandfather, he were adopted, and when I was 10, we found his half brother in Australia.
Oh,
And
wow.
yes, and we did the travel to Australia with my parents and my grandparents to meet for first time the family of my grandparents, grandfather. But now everyone is dead because it was a long time ago. And but so in my heart, Australia have a big place because yes, it was crazy to do that. You are 10 and you hear that you have family there. It was in Perth. But I was also in Sydney for a few days. So it's very symbolic for me that people in Australia are going to see my film. And it's also so crazy because yes, it's the other side of the world, and people are going to see a so intimate and personal film. I'm so happy, and I'm really enjoying also to maybe read some comments, reviews, etc., because I want to know what people think about the film. But yes, I'm really happy.
You will certainly read reviews. I'm going to write one myself, but first we want to get this out and have people hear you discuss your work. But yes, I was absolutely so very touched by it, and You do see the slight separation between the sexes. The women tend to stick together, and the men tend to stick together. And at the actual funeral, Aya's having none of that. She walks straight up to the burial, and nobody stops her. She's just they just
It's a
include
woman.
her. Yeah, and that's. It's wonderful. I think there's only one time when somebody says to her, "You can't behave that way," and her father stands up for her and says, "Well, yes, she can." So I think
Yes, the
that's.
character of the father is also very important, that he want to that her, his child is a child, and everybody have to understand that.
Yes, that she's a child and that she was so close to
Yes.
her brother, then
Yes.
yeah, and yes, it's a there is as I keep saying the same thing, but it's a lovely, beautifully observed, positive representation of men through the eyes of a young girl who at generally would be like, "Pah, boys don't care," but is buoyed by them and uplifted by them and yeah, great film. Great film.
Thank you
Tell me
very much.
about what the name means. Because I know it, I mean it's hothead.
Yes, but yes, you can't translate. So it's if you translate the word, it's hothead, but it's the name of a song. Also a very French rap famous song, but it's also a proverb. Do we say proverb in English?
A proverb or a saying or an
Yes, a saying.
axiom. Yeah.
Yes, it's a saying with a negative and a positive way, but I choose the positive way. It's when you are young and you are not afraid of anything, a little bit impulsive, and you are going to do things how you want to do it. We say you are a tête brûlée. So yes, it's a saying.
So it sort of suits both Aya and her brother. So
Yes, it's
yes.
for all of them. And also the last thing I thought about the title, it's also when you are grieving, it's also so difficult that you can also feel it physically, and sometimes it's like your head is burned. So it was also a hot head. Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you. That makes
Very
a lot
much.
of sense because I was looking it up and I was going, yeah, okay. I'll need to find out a bit more. It has been my absolute pleasure, Maya, to speak with you.
Also, me, I was very happy to do this interview.
I wish you the best of luck with your film journey. I
Thank
know it's
you.
been to Berlin, but I imagine it's still being shown around festivals. Yes. So and for your first film, my goodness, all you've done is a short, which was the sort of a genesis of this, wasn't it? The short. Yes. So please make more film, make more
Thank you very
cinema.
much. Thank you very much.
Au revoir. Have a wonderful day.
Au revoir. Thank you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this interview with Maya about her film Tête Brûlée, and thanks to Nadine for doing it as well. If you want to listen to other interviews and read reviews, visit thecurb.com.au. Please rate, review, and share this interview with your film-loving friends. Hope they like it as much as you have. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and I'll see you on the next one.